Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as you know. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You've been listening already. We consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And as it turns out, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Your executive intelligence. Our good friend Dr. Justin Minkus is back on the show. He's the Managing Director of Executive Intelligence Group, a leading provider of executive assessment services to corporations all around the globe. He's the author of Executive Intelligence, What All Great Leaders Have. He's our friend Justin. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed myself so much last time.
It's good to have you here, Justin. Good to have you back. Let's talk about this executive intelligence. When you meet someone for the first time, can you how long does it take you to size them up in terms of executive intelligence?
You know, it's a good question. My wife would probably kill me if I had that as a habit, because we probably wouldn't keep friends for very long.
You wouldn't get invited back, would you?
Well, not really. It's really a bad habit. But what happens is I'm able to shut it down most of the time and just have a good time. But when I'm on, when people are paying me, and if I get it wrong, I'm certainly going to hear about it.
Right.
I have to probe a bit.
What are you looking for?
Well, what I'm looking for is that there's a sense of common sense, a sense of business acumen that we're looking for in all of our executives. It's the ability to take complex information, lots of information, and none of these pieces of information have sort of taglines on them that look at this, this is important. The individual themselves, the manager themselves, has to be able to pick and choose amongst this vast amount of information in order to render a sound conclusion to say, well, this is what's important and this is what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm looking at, their ability to take real-life situations and make a common-sense decision from them.
Well, and so it's a combination. Obviously, they have to be intelligent to be able to understand what's being said, but then the executive part is being able to convert that information into a business solution.
What you've gone right after is the problem with intelligence today, because our academics have fogged the concept of intelligence to the degree that it's no longer useful. Intelligence.
What do you mean?
Itself,
tell us what you mean by that.
Well, intelligence by itself is like any psychological concept. It cannot be visibly seen. It's like wind blowing in the field.
I mean,
the only way you know the existence of wind is because the wind in the wheat
moves
field
something.
Is bending. Psychological concepts are the same way. They're invisible. So what we do, what test takers do, and scientists, is that they look for manifestations of this psychological concept, and therein lies the rub. Because what they do is that the individual test takers, creators, have to define what specific skills define intelligence. And inevitably, the skills they choose are subjective. You can't choose every cognitive skills. It's infinite. So they choose the selective cognitive skills that they personally believe make somebody smart. And if you look at IQ tests and intelligence tests, you find a remarkable pattern. It's that the people that build these tests are academics, so they do things that they're good at.
If you use an academically developed profile test to hire someone, you might get really smart people, but they might not, they might have no common sense.
I hope you have me on again, because this is random and it takes so much time. Jim consistently from my last interview sums it up better than I can. That's exactly it.
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of people, you know, one of the cool things to do is to find, you know, a diamond in the rough out there when you're in business, is to find someone who's obviously intelligent and who has the ability to solve problems, and you bring those people along, but you have to test for that too. Justin, give us the website where your book is available, please.
It's executiveintelligence.com. And the executive I just finished with a $3 billion engineering firms in California, and they lost one of the best people because they just weren't focused on this.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Our businesses are not billion-dollar businesses, but it hurts us just as badly when we lose somebody. 20 till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Justin Minkus right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the archives and the podcasts, the thousands of archives of past shows, including the ones we're doing today. And, of course, you can also subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out my blog. You can read thousands of articles picked from – and they're all laid out, by the way, in categories. So you can find the category that's on your mind, the archive, the brain trust, and the articles – are all laid out in these categories, and find the one you like, and you can roam around in that section of the website and use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog, which we update every weekday. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which is where you can get small business questions answered right now. And, of course, all of our sites are free. Everything we have has no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us. Justin Minkus, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Justin Minkus is the author of Executive Intelligence. And, Justin, do I see that the book's now out in paperback?
Yeah, it just released in paperback a couple of months ago. And, it's the major book fairs stores, if I could speak at 5:30 in the morning.
Check it out in Executive Intelligence, What All Great Leaders Have. Justin, so the two issues here for business owners are, number one, making sure that you hire for executive intelligence. That's one, acquiring those people.
Yes.
But then once you get them, you have to be able to keep them, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I wish you asked me that question, because I get the same question asked over and over again. This is a unique one. What people have to understand is that employees are not robots. And they underestimate their intelligence over and over again. In fact, politicians underestimate the intelligence of the public over and over again. What they perceive as public stupidity is actually just the public that is trying to feed their families, mm-hmm. Do their jobs, and just don't have a heck of a lot of time to dive into issues. And what great leadership is about, what executive intelligence is about, is not about brainwashing. It's not about arguing with so passionately that people ignore their own judgment in order to take an action. It's about allowing people to understand the rightness of your position so that they themselves take it on and then go off and do the objective that you set them out to do. But it's because they believe in it, not because you've told them to. And that in itself is an incredibly motivator.
But that speaks more to the executive intelligence of the leader of that organization than it does to the followers, doesn't it?
It does, and it is ultimately the leader's responsibility to make sure not only can they surround themselves with people that can understand a reasonable discussion when it is put forth, and they can. As long as the executive intelligence person doesn't talk all high and mighty and mm-hmm. in philosophical terms, can say, here's what we need to accomplish, here are the steps that need to accomplish it, here's your role, you think you can do it.
Well, the leader of an organization should surround himself or herself with people who are smarter than them, but they still have to be the number one motivator, don't they?
They really do, because so many times you hear, but it is true, the buck stops there. I mean, if somebody ultimately, Peter Drucker used to say, he's my old professor, he used to say two CEOs is no CEOs. At some point, somebody has to be able to take all the systems into account, all the problems into account, and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And at some point, he can articulate the reasoning behind it, and then after that, people have to take action.
Well, exactly. Yeah, businesses are not democracies. They're benevolent dictatorships, no question about it. But, okay, how do we – let's talk some more about what we're looking for with executive intelligence, what we're looking for in a prospect that we're trying to hire. What about talk to us about that. The testing that you recommend that people take, what is it going to tell us?
Yeah, you know, one of the most essential things up front, and we must dispel this notion, is the idea of charisma. Charismatic, good-looking, six-foot-tall, Caucasian males, there is a disproportionate number of those individuals occupying the Fortune 500 CEO leadership.
Desperately handsome, right?
I'm sorry?
Desperately handsome, just incredibly handsome. That's the problem I've had all my life, Justin.
Yeah.
I was just way too handsome.
Absolutely. And what happens is all the search consultants who are responsible for choosing these people, and I'll hear over, and I can't tell you how many people I've heard, this guy came in, and yeah, he's a CEO. I mean, as soon as he walks in the room, he looks like a CEO.
Right.
And what happens is that we focus on attributes such as charisma, such as extroversion.
Beauty contest stuff.
Exactly. It's a beauty contest. And what happens is within 2 weeks, when that beauty contest winner is making asinine decisions, leading a company off a cliff, they don't stay charismatic very long.
Right.
What we're looking for is a leader of substance, someone who can consistently come up with the right answer, tell his people to go and do something that makes sense, that is most likely to win them over their competitors. That's the kind of motivation that lasts over time.
Right. Stand by. Justin Minkus is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a quick break. It's 10 till. The book is called Executive Intelligence. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here is Aretha to take us out.
All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come on.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Dr. Justin Minkus. He's the author of Executive Intelligence, and that's, by the way, the book's available out now in paperback. It's I have both copies, hardback and paperback. Justin, you asked this question in your book: why is executive intelligence so rare? Is it rare?
Yeah. You know, that's one of the most frustrating things for senior executives, for CEOs, to find how rare it is, because what happens is that our school system, our entire educational system, is geared around having students memorize knowledge and resuscitate it. And they're graded on that. So you could imagine somebody who's a contestant on Jeopardy. They have a very impressive recitation of facts, but one cannot confuse. And this is in large part, the fault of academics. They've confused the notion of intelligence. Knowledge, recitation of memorization, is not the same as skillful application of what you know to be the case in order to render a sound conclusion.
Memory power is not the same as processing power, is it?
It is exactly right. And so what happens is you have all sorts of people that are throwing knowledge at a situation running around doing trial and error, thinking, oh, I know this, I know that, before they've taken 20 to 30 seconds to think, hold on a second, am I defining this problem properly?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correcting the right constituents? Am I going to create unintended consequences along the way? This could lead to a six-month, year, four-year quagmire rather than 30, 60 seconds of thinking before we do anything to
come
to the right answer.
You know, the old saying, there's an old saw about the A students in the MBA courses wind up becoming managers for the C students. Managers of the C students. Working for the C students. In other words, the C students are leading the companies. The A students are their managers.
It's so true because one of the things that happens is that these A students memorize and they become good managers. They become people that execute a plan. But the C students are often the people that see the big picture, that understand where that plan should be going. So these A students are great at 100% mile an hour going at the right going at a particular direction. It's the C students that say, hold on a second, you're going in the wrong direction.
The truth is, we in our businesses, we need both of these, don't we?
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. And it's not to separate the great CEOs. I've interviewed in executive intelligence probably 32 of the most celebrated CEOs in the world. They have both. I mean, not everybody can be Jack Welch. It just doesn't happen that way. But these great CEOs have both. They can balance the execution with the vision.
Mm-hmm.
They can see how the dots connect.
Well, but the key for us and for small business owners is to make sure that we don't get so enamored of grades, let's say, or their ability to memorize, as you say, and put, maybe we need to hire this person, but maybe we're not going to put them in the right place. Maybe we need to make sure we should make sure that we're hiring for the right job.
Absolutely. And you can do so. How much time do we have?
We got about a minute.
Okay. Quickly. What you want to do is you want to take your job applications, 3, 4 that are applying for the same job, ask them a hypothetical. Ask them, you're in a parking lot, you're applying for a police officer, you come across a frantic mother, she's locked her keys in the car, the toddler's in the, toddler's in the back. She says, please get him out, screaming, please get him out. Now, what do you do? You don't want a police officer that's going to take out his baton and smash his glass. I mean, he looks in there, he sees the child is fine, he calms the mother down, and he says, look, we'll get him out as safely as possible. The last thing we need is to introduce flying shards of glass into the situation.
And then
he says,
let's call OnStar and we'll get him out of there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, give us the website again, solid. Justin. Give us the
I'm
website
sorry?
Again. The website again, please.
Oh, executiveintelligence.com.
That's the title of the book, too, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Justin Minkus is the author and now out in paperback as well, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Justin, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Oh, I really appreciate you having me on.
We'll do it again. Thanks.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.